Well, hello everyone, and welcome. I hope you are doing well. Are you doing well? If not, maybe this podcast can make you feel a little bit better. You know, I've wanted to try something new. It was different to my other podcasts, where I seem to always. I need to keep my calm now. I seem to always want to go on a rant and almost speak faster than, you know, my mouth permits, even though I can't speak really fast. But so I saw a video of a YouTuber, a guy named Peter Draws, and it was such a contrast from all of the other quick and crazy videos and everything, and I just thought. So Peter draws, right? he draws and he does art with things. And it is, I just thought, wow, this guy is so relaxing to listen to and to watch. It's sort of like, he's a little bit like the new Bob Ross, maybe. Like a doodler. Anyways, so I think I'm going to call this, if you ever do hear it, I think I'll call it, maybe, because I want to do a bit of a book review, so maybe lazy book reviews, calm reviews of old secondhand books of classics, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. I guess you know already. It's sort of like seeing into the future, but not really. And so on my other podcasts, and especially one, well, I mean, not especially, but I want to do another one on Ayn Rand, where I previously did a book review on Atlas Shrugged, but it was just, yeah, I felt, I don't know, maybe the information was there, but I wasn't very satisfied with it. So I thought I'd give it another try, but I'm not going to do Atlas Shrugged. On this one, I'm going to talk about, and we'll check out Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead. And Ayn Rand was a philosopher. She was a Russian-American. She was born in the early 1900s. Is that? No. Yes, yeah. I think she was born in Russia in 1904, something like that. So, yes, she died in, like, 82, I think. Anyway, she was a philosopher of a very sort of controversial philosophy called objectivism. Which is it's interesting. It's a difficult philosophy. I think straight off the bat for any, like, I don't think anyone can just say. What I'm trying to say is, I think everyone fights with it, because she flips some concepts onto their heads, which is fascinating, and she can reason, you know, her way through it. And I guess she not so much in The Fountainhead, it was the beginning of that, but Atlas Shrugged itself was basically a big thought experiment, I'd say, maybe, in a way, of her entire philosophy put in practice. It is an epic book. She called it a Magnus Opum, Magnum Opus, one of those two, but a masterpiece, basically, and it is, I would say, a masterpiece, and yes, I would say she's a genius. She's one of those, like, super geniuses, well, not super geniuses, but, you know, she's such a genius to the point where I don't think she really could socialize properly and things like that. Not that she was, like, retarded or I don't know, she's a very interesting woman. Very confident. She's very cold and confident. And I guess those are the sort of interviews that I've seen of her, speeches that she's giving, because obviously, in a way, she has to, you know, she has to be strong and defend her position, because, you know, claiming that philosophy or your philosophy of objectivism is the one correct one or the best one for the individual is quite a big statement. All right. Now, Ayn Rand, The Fountainhead. This book, I didn't know what to expect. First of all, I'm very happy or lucky I actually got this book. It's a second-hand old one. I don't see a printing date, or there should be one. The book's probably, I'd say, about 20 years old. See here. Oh, bloody hell. Okay, no, I don't really see. I see a bunch of dates, but not a print date. Anyway, I've visited a couple of bookstores, and yeah, I could never find it. I would have to basically order it online, or order it through a bookstore or something. And I found it in just like an obscure corner in a quite a large secondhand bookstore. It's probably the largest secondhand bookstore. Well, I mean, the room isn't. Well, it's not a very big space. But the a collection of books is, yeah, they have books for days there. And my favorite section has been the classics section, because I've been trying to read, you know, as much Orwell as I could, also Hemingway, and also Dostoevsky, and obviously Rand at the moment. So all of these books will be in the classics section. For you know, for damn good reason. I like for people that, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna take a sip of wine while you can listen to the pages of the book. Is quite a sizable book. On the cover, we have some nice art of a woman that's sort of retro-ish, but in a classic style. And I can't really, I don't really what that style could recall what that style's called. Anyway, yeah, it's like a retro and of a woman. You can see she's a very upper class woman. She's got her gloves on in this green car, and she's got some sort of a cap. It makes it look like a racing cap a little bit. But there are no lady races in the book. Anyway, it's a interesting looking piece of art. And then the book is about. It's exactly in 725 pages. That's where the. Oh no, that's. There's like one more little. A mini chapter. 727 pages. So it's. I mean, it's fairly long. Not too long. But it is quite long. I think it's the perfect size. You know, some books. You know, some books need to be long, and some books need to be not so long. And some books, you know, need to be happy, and some serious, and some scary. I haven't read much horror, although Crime and Punishment was quite scary, but in a different sense, not in a killer's gonna come and find you or the boogeyman. It's just tension and psychological sort of terror. Yeah, Dostoevsky. What a man. I'm going off topic. Okay, so on the back of the book here, we see architect Howard Roark is unyielding as. Let me start that again. Architect Howard Roark is as unyielding as the granite he blasts to build with. Defying the conventions of the world around him, he embraces a battle over two decades against double-dealing crew of rivals who will stop at nothing to bring him down. These include, perhaps most troublesome of all, the ambitious Dominique Francon. I didn't know this when I read the book. Dominique Francon is a girl, and fascinating, very fascinating character, who may just prove to be Roark's equal. This epic story of money, power, and man's struggle to succeed on his own terms is a paean to individualism and humanity's creative potential. First published in 1943, The Fountainhead introduced millions to Rand's philosophy of objectivism, an uncompromising defense of self-interest as the engine of progress. And then there's a quote from the London Review of Books. In The Fountainhead, power, greed, life's grandeur flow hot and red in thrilling descriptions. And it does flow and glow hot and red in thrilling descriptions. Other than quite a cold-ish, on the surface, sort of philosopher genius woman, she sure does know how to write. I mean, you would expect the writing to be, sort of like clinical and sort of like non-fiction and very factual, but it's, there's like a lot of drama, you know, and her characters are very well thought out and definite, and, you know, they, I wouldn't even call them archetypes. And like this Dominique Francon, and even the main character, Howard Roark, this, you know, he's also kind of like a genius guy, and but he's just, he has this idea, right? Or let me give you an example, just of sort of how this character is. He's a stubborn guy, and if you meet him, this person, maybe he'll say like, yeah, what a selfish, cold sort of guy, and maybe he was, maybe he is, but in a way that sort of makes you jealous of his ability to be so proud, to be filled with self-pride. I don't even, maybe it's a little bit of narcissism. No, because he wouldn't have made the same choices. He makes very specific, like, this is good, right? So what I wanted to say, so basically, while he was studying at university, the character Howard Roark, he was kicked out of university because his drawings were just too sort of crazy. His buildings, his designs, which were sort of a modernist, you know, like crazy modern new style, but not bad, in bad taste, I'd say. Anyway, his school kept sort of pushing him, wanting to stay to classical, sort of to the old, and he basically refused, and for that reason, for sort of not following the status quo, so to speak, in within architecture. Oh, there's something in my eye. Oh, listen to the leaves, the leaves of paper with writing on it. Anyway, I forgot where I left off, and so that means it probably wasn't that important, so I'm going to just carry on. So just before the introduction is a little side note letter by Ayn Rand herself. signed 10 March 1943. And she says, I offer my profound gratitude to the great profession of architecture and its architecture, in Afrikaans we say an architectuur, so architecture, sorry guys. So she offers her profound gratitude to the great profession of architecture and its heroes who have given us some of the highest expressions of man's genius, yet have remained unknown, undiscovered by the majority of men, and to the architects who gave me their gracious assistance in the technical matters of this book. No person or event in the story is intended as a reference to any real person or event. The titles of the newspaper columns were invented and used by me in the first draft of this novel. They were not taken from and have not reference to any actual newspaper columns or features. This is one of those books you have to read, even maybe if it's just to warm up to another book that you have to read, Atlas Shrugged. But really, this is a fascinating book, like very strong characters. Ayn Rand was a romanticist, so she creates these things to look up to, right? So her hero is supposed to be someone that you sort of admire, maybe even like you're a little bit jealous of. I remember getting jealous of some of her characters, and it's weird. I haven't really read another author that made me feel jealous of their characters. It's interesting. This is a definite read for anyone and interested in reading a good story, a good book, something that will also leave a lasting impact on your life, you know. And then next time you have a conversation and someone brings up Ayn Rand, at least you can say, yes, you know, I read The Fountainhead, and you know, I think it was I think it was interesting, or you know, I think it is one of the most influential books I've ever read. Or you can say it's a bunch of garbage written by a Satanist. Ayn Rand wasn't a Satanist, by the way. She was an atheist. But I've heard people say, oh yeah, modern Satanism takes some stuff from Ayn Rand's philosophy. I don't really know. Anyone who says that, I think they should maybe first listen or read a little bit of Ragnar Redbeard's Might is Right. Now that's, if I was a good atheist, I mean, if I was a good Satanist, not that I know what Satanism is about, but I'm just saying, if I was, that's probably the book I'd be like, guys, this is the jam, fuck Ayn Rand, she's too, like, milquetoast. Ayn Rand, like, cares about people. Well, actually, not really, maybe, hey. She said, she basically just thinks you should, see, this is interesting. This is difficult as well. I can't explain Ayn Rand's philosophy to you right now. It's just too much. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening to this. You're probably asleep or have clicked on. I know this is a very strange video. I don't even know what to categorize it as, and I'm also looking forward to seeing what the name of what I've called this after this. So, guys, take care of yourselves. Go out, get this book.